This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Amma ba'd. We are living in very interesting and very difficult times. This is something that, if you are aware of the news, if you are following what's happening, you would feel a sense of uneasiness. And this is something that's, it's okay to feel that, because these are uneasy times. Just right now, I was looking at a message of a journalist who was posting on his Twitter account that since the funeral of the Shuhada in New Zealand, just since that time, there have been 7 attacks on mosques in Australia, 3 attacks on mosques and Muslims in the USA, and some number, maybe 4 or 5, I don't remember exactly the figure he quoted, in the UK as well. Okay, and this is right after the tragedy has taken place, right after the funeral has happened, right after the Prime Minister of New Zealand, may Allah bless her and guide her to goodness, had made all those wonderful statements, showed all the solidarity that she showed. The adhan was broadcasted on live on national TV in New Zealand. After all that happened, this is the response of the people in different parts of the world. That's a very uneasy and very unsettling situation. And this is not, this is something that happens whenever there's a tragedy that is afflicted upon the Muslims. Like, we are suffering from this and we are mourning. Even it's difficult for us to mourn in peace. Even in those circumstances, our loyalty is questioned, our existence is seen as a threat in many parts. Not the, like, this is not the case in with the majority of the people, okay? And this is where, this is what I want to speak to, that how do we balance this uneasiness that we feel that's legitimate, and these legitimate threats that are there against us, while also living a life of hope and optimism and, you know, taking the good and leaving the bad. How do we balance this, how do we walk this tightrope? Think about this, brothers and sisters. We have this, these situations, these attacks that I just told you about, but at the same time, here in our city, we've had numerous people who sent emails to the mosque saying, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with you. We have a whole, like, table full of bouquets, of flowers, that people brought in, and people came in crying. These are, you're stuck in the situation. You see this bleak situation, and you see this really nice situation. And it's a very difficult, it's very difficult to be able to reconcile between the two, because it seems like a dichotomy. But these are the times that we live in. And when we find ourselves in difficult times, things that we can't explain sometimes, things that we can't make sense of, we turn to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we turn to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, try to make sense of everything. That is our anchor. That is what we go back to in good times and in bad times. In times when we are clear and in times where we're confused. That's our anchor. If you look at when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Sahaba, they were in a very difficult situation in the battle of Khandaq, in which they were surrounded by a very large army, a coalition of armies in fact. Many of them were paid mercenaries. For example, the tribe of Ghatafan was paid to come and attack the Muslims. And they outnumbered, the army outnumbered the residents of Medina. Okay, think about that. The residents of Medina were around, you know, 9,000, 10,000. The army of Ahzab was more than 10,000. So this was, you're up against impossible odds. This was a very, a threat to the existence of the Muslims. Very difficult times. And the Sahaba, as Allah quotes them in the Quran, their response to these that fear was فَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Their response was that Allah will take care of us. And specifically, when people try to instill fear in them, أَلَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَاخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Specifically when they were told that this is it for you, it's all over. فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. That situation of threat and difficulty increased their iman. They didn't decrease their iman. The situation of finding themselves in an adverse situation didn't make them lose faith. It made them gain faith. فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. And then that expression, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, Allah is going to take care of us, is an expression of faith. It's an expression of somebody who says, I don't understand everything right now, but I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He brought us to it, He'll bring us through it as well. So we look at that incident as a way to find solace. You look at, for example, what Allah says to the Prophet in the Quran. He says to him that مَا يُقَالُ لَكَ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ قِيلَ لِلْرُسُلِ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. Nothing is said to you except that it was said to the messengers before you as well. Okay? Meaning, if you feel that life is hard and what people are saying to you is unfair and the pressures that are put on you are overbearing, that was exactly the same situation every prophet before you faced as well. This is what Allah would tell the Prophet ﷺ to give him hope, right? To give him hope and give him the soul food, right? The food for his soul, so he could withstand the pressures. And he ﷺ withstood all the pressures and came out the winner on the other side. So in these tough circumstances that we find ourselves in, confusing times really, right? Like I told you, people who are seeing our existence as a threat and others who are very loving and caring. And they're both existing in the same world and the same city. And it's just, you're not sure what to make of this. We look to the Quran and the Sunnah to find our way, right? Because it will help us chart a path for our future. I want to share with you a little bit of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet in Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak, Surah Inshirah. This is one of the last surahs of the Quran. And it's a very beautiful surah because it's very short. MashaAllah, that's why many people memorize it and read it in the salawat. But the meaning is far more beautiful. The meaning is very powerful. And if you look at the surah is meant to be a consolation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Mufassirun don't talk about what exactly happened when the surah was revealed. There's many things in the Quran that are revealed where something happened and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah to console the Prophet, to guide the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But sometimes there isn't any like incident. And in this case, Allahu alam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just feeding the mounting pressure on him as he was in Mecca. Okay, let me set the stage for you. The Prophet ﷺ lived in Mecca. He was the most upstanding citizen of that city. His father was a model citizen. His grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, was effectively the mayor of that city. Okay, his whole family were loved and respected. The Prophet ﷺ was so loved and respected that if he went, and not if, when he did go and make a case or put forward his opinion, people would accept that without any debate. As in the case of, for example, who would place the black stone in the building of the Kaaba, the Prophet ﷺ gave his opinion before he was a prophet and everybody accepted his opinion. Nobody questioned his integrity. Nobody said, well, you are from Banu Hashim, so you're going to pick your own. Nobody said that. That's how much respect he had in Mecca. So much so that he was nicknamed As-Sadiq al-Amin. The one who is the truthful, the one who is trustworthy, who has integrity. Okay? So he was loved and respected and revered by everybody in the city. The moment he starts, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, the moment he receives the message, and the moment he starts preaching the message, that these idols are useless, these idols are not real, these are fabrications, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and only one and deserves to be worshipped alone, all these people became his enemies. Literally overnight. That's a very devastating thing for anybody to do. To be in a situation where you are always loved and accepted and everything is beautiful, to a point where everything is confrontational. Everybody sees you as a threat. Everybody is talking about you. And none of those statements are based on facts. It's just perceptions of people. Alright? So this, just this situation, if you were to put it in its true historical context, was a very difficult situation to deal with. I don't know how we would react if one day, all of a sudden, people that have known us for all of our lives, people who have cared for us for all of our lives, all of a sudden turn around and say to us, "You are the enemy, you are, you know, the problem in this community, you. I don't know how we would deal with that. Right? Imagine, put yourself in that situation. Very tough. Very, very difficult to do that. The Prophet ﷺ was dealing with that overbearing pressure. On top of criticism of the da'wah, of what he's saying, of what he's preaching, questioning of his motives, questioning of why is he a prophet when there's other rich people in the community why aren't they prophets? All of those things were said about him. And then on top of that, there's torture to his companions. There is character assassination. And you can go on and on and on. The Prophet is in a very tough situation. What does Allah tell him in this surah? He says, "Alam nashrah laka sadrak." Have we not lifted up your heart? Have we not opened up your heart? Ibn Ashur, rahimahullah, he says that, you know, a shah is actually, you know, to slice something. You know, we say a shariha is called like a lil qata'a min al laham, right? You know, if you cut a piece of meat, you know, all the Arabs would call that a shariha because you have sliced it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to this idea of slicing, not literally, but specifically that Allah has izala ma fi an-nafs min al-huzn mithl sharh al-lahm wa hadha ansab. He says it's like Allah has sliced away his pain, like you slice away a piece of meat that's from, there's like a larger meat and you carve it out. Just like that, Allah is saying, have you not taken that pain away from you? Alam nashrah laka sadrak wa rafa'a wa wada'na 'anka wizrak, and removed your burden, alladhi anqadha dhahrak, that weighed so heavily upon you. Wa rafa'na laka dhikrak, and have we not given you a high renown, a high remembrance? These are questions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking of the Prophet, rhetorical questions. The answer to all these is yes. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to here is, O Prophet of Allah, these are tough times. These are tough times. Look at the positives. Look at all the positives. Did we not remove pain from your heart? Did we not remove the burden from your chest or the burden from your back? Have we not raised your remembrance and renown amongst people? These are all things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing to that are positives, even in a dark, negative situation. This is the first lesson for us. When we face these difficult circumstances, these confusing times, is we have to really focus on the positive. Okay? Does not mean that we become absent-minded or ignorant of the negative. Right? We shouldn't ignore the threats that are there. You know, alhamdulillah, at the masjid, for example, we're ramping up security, we're doing this and that. That's because that's called tying the camel and then trusting Allah. Okay? We take al-aghdhu bil-asbab. We take our means. Okay? But at the same time, we don't become paranoid. We don't become drowned in misery because of the negatives that are there. Our attitude has to come from the positive things that are there in our lives. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is firstly highlighting that for the Prophet. Look, there's all these positive things. Right? So don't lose hope. That's step one. That is remedy number one. Don't lose hope. Look at all the positives that are there in your life. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does in the Quran frequently with the Prophet. For example, when his son passed away, his second son passed away, the people of Makkah, who were his family and neighbors and friends for as long as he was alive, few of them actually celebrated the death of the Prophet's son. Can you imagine the absolute low person? Like, how low do you have to be? How disgusting of a person do you have to be to celebrate the death of a child? And these were the same people the Prophet was expected to go and then make dua for and call them to hidayah. Okay? When this happened, of course, the Prophet's heart would be, as any person's heart, absolutely shattered. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar for him at that time. And when he woke up after a nap, he said, Allah has revealed this surah to me that is more beloved to me than the whole world. And that's Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. It's beloved to many of us because it's short, and we read that in our salah. But it was beloved to the Prophet for the meaning. For the meaning, because what does Allah tell him in that very, very dark time in his life? Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. We have given you al-kawthar, which is the pond in Jannah, which is al-khayr al-kathir, lots and lots of good. Even in the darkest time, O Prophet, look at all the good you have still. That attitude of gratitude, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly reminding him of. So that we don't forget all the good, even in dark, confusing times. That is the first lesson we can extract from this, and the first thing that we can apply in our lives today. That we look at the positive. We thank Allah for the positive. And we keep working to increase that positive because that is the optimism that our faith gives us. That's how Allah consoled the Prophet ﷺ, and for us in that is guidance. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and he says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. I will talk about these two ayat inshallah in the next khutbah. قُلُ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِمَا فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ. بسم الله الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وولا أما بعد. الله سبحانه وتعالى says فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا. As you can imagine, as you can see, even without understanding, that there is a repetition here, right? The words are repeating. The meaning of this is for sure, absolutely no doubt, that with every hardship there is ease. Surely with every hardship there is ease. Okay. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not repeat himself redundantly. When there is a repetition, there is a very informed purpose for it. Even when Allah repeats a story in the Quran, you will not find in any part of the Quran redundancy. The story is repeated, and every time it's repeated, there's some new wrinkle added. Some new layer is added. Some new benefit, either linguistic or aqidah or hukum, that you can extract. Every single time, without fail. Because the words of Allah are not redundant. So why does Allah repeat himself? This is a question. The Mufassirun talk about this. I will quote to you what Ibn Ashur rahimahullah says. He says something, he extracts 5 or 6 points of benefit from the wording here and from the repetition. I'll share a few with you. Firstly, he says that look at the idea of difficulty and ease. He says difficulty and ease are opposites. They can't actually be together. It's like hot and cold. You can't be both at the same time. Okay? You cannot be, you know, asleep and awake at the same time. These are opposites. So why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that they are together? Okay? What's the reasoning behind that? So he says, the ma'naha لِأَنَّ الْعُسْرَ وَالْيُسْرِ نَقِيضًا فَمُقَارَنَتُهُمَا مَعًا مُسْتَحِيلًا فَتَعَيَّنَ أَنَّ الْمَعِيَّةَ مُسْتَعَارَةً لِقُرْبِ حُصُولِ الْيُسْرِ عَقِبَ حُلُولِ الْعُسْرِ وَظُهُورِ بَوَادِرِهِ. Very interesting. He says, it's impossible that both ease and difficulty are together. So the meaning of together here is something else. And that something else is that ease is very close. It's very closely followed by difficulty. You will feel pain. You will feel this is tough. You will feel that this is, like, the world is about to collapse. But if we have iman, إِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا, right away, very shortly afterwards, the relief will come. He says something also very interesting. He says this particular expression, it is مُقْتَدِيَةً لِنَقْتَ تَأْثِيرِ الْعُسْرِ وَمُبْتَلِقًا لِعَمَلِهِ. Another interpretation or understanding is that the fate that we have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of our iman, will give us this ease in the moment of difficulty. And that ease is going to reduce the pain. It's going to reduce the pain and make it easy to bear that difficult time. This is, subhanAllah, you think about this, the Prophet ﷺ's life, and you look at the tragedies that he suffered, the moments of loss that he experienced, and you look at how he dealt with it, this is that. When his son Ibrahim passed away, radiallahu anhu, he would say, إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ لَتَدْمَى وَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ لَيَحْزَرَ. The eyes are overflowing with tears, and the heart is grief-stricken. وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا نُرْضِي رَبَّنَا. But we only say what pleases our master. That pain that he's experiencing, like any father would experience at the loss of their child, it's eased by the faith, and the faith that Allah has given, iman, is what helps him get through it. وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبَّنَا. So subhanAllah, this is a very beautiful understanding. That with difficulty there is ease, meaning that our iman will make bearing that difficulty easy. The relief will come very shortly, very soon afterwards. We have to be patient. And then the idea of repetition. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. The scholars mention that there is beautiful benefits in repetition. In Arabic, you have singular, dual, and plural. In English, we only have singular and plural. But in Arabic, you have something that's called tathniya, two pairs. And the tathniya in Arabic is actually referring sometimes to something that's just two, like yadani, two hands. Or it could refer to something that is metaphorical. And that metaphorical is something that repeats often. For example, Allah says, ثُمَّ ارْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِيًا وَهُوَ حَسِيرٌ. Go look again twice, and you won't find any flaws in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The twice here is it's a metaphor to say, look again and again, and you will find Allah's creation to be perfect. Likewise, when you go for Hajj, you say, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ. This is again, labbaik is twice, right? Two labs, which is not to say that you have said, I respond to Allah twice. It's I respond to you, Allah, again and again and again. Okay? So this twice here is to tell the Prophet ﷺ and all of us that this difficulty that we face and the pain that we face, the relief will come again and again. The pain will come and go. There's going to be relapse, but the ease and the relief and the support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also going to be more and more frequent. It's going to repeat itself. Okay? And that gives us hope that in difficult times we can get through this together. And lastly, subhanAllah, a very beautiful thing is the tone. It's like a consolation tone. If someone is not feeling well, you say, it's okay, right? You say it twice sometimes. It's like a consoling tone from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His Prophet. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. SubhanAllah. So this is how Allah consoled His Prophet. To get through that very difficult time in his life, the pressures of society that he was facing, the burden of the da'wah that he was carrying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoled him and said, be optimistic. Look at all the positive. Alam nashrah laka sadrak. And number two, difficulty is there, but the ease is coming soon. And it's going to come again and again. And the iman that you have is going to help you bear that pain and come out stronger. And that for us is a lesson in these confusing times. We have to be optimistic. We have to look at what is good. And also we have to understand that in this difficult time, ease will follow shortly. We ask Allah to give us the iman to bear the difficulties of our lives. We ask Allah to put these difficulties in the mizan of our hasanat. We ask Allah to accept our shuhada anywhere in the world that they are. We ask Allah to protect us and our communities from all evil and from all evildoers. In Allah wa malaikatuhu yusalluna ala nabiyya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin fil awwalin wa fil akhirin wa salli ala Muhammadin fil mala'il a'la ila yawmid din. Allahumma ahyina ala sunnatihi wa amitna ala millatihi wa ahshurna fi zumratihi wasqina min hawdihi ya rabbal alamin. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار.